It's good to be back to Fairview once again, and I really appreciate all the work and effort that the church and the committee and each and every one puts into this, and the prayers. You know, there's a lot of praying that goes into this, and I really appreciate all the hard work, and I know the Lord does. I feel very honored to have this opportunity, and I sincerely desire an interest in your prayers. I am a little bit hoarse. We had some good friends over, Brother Brad Hicks and some other friends over the last few days, and we gathered around the piano and sang some gospel music Saturday night till the wee hours of the night, and then I tried to preach twice yesterday too, so I'm a little bit hoarse, but I know the Lord will help us through that. And I'm looking forward to presenting the message that the Lord has placed on our heart tonight. Again, I would sincerely desire an interest in your prayers, and I do want to tell Brother Aaron I appreciate his lesson, very good lesson, and I'm glad that I've found the book, that it was brought to me at a very young age, and I appreciate his lesson, and all the lessons have been just spot on. They've been exactly what's needed. I believe that with all my heart, and just pray that the Lord would use us tonight for His honor and His glory. Of course, this series of lessons is on the development of God's children. And my lesson that was chosen for me was on Samson. And you might think, well, that seems kind of funny about Samson. Someone that, looking at their life, it seems like maybe they didn't grow a whole lot. But you know, each and every one of us face troubles and trials in our lives, and God still sees fit to place His hand upon us. The thought that the Lord has blessed us with is He's still working on me. And I want to look to the Word of God to see about Samson's life, but again, if you want to follow along with the outline and with the scriptures, we'll be taking our scripture lesson, of course, from Judges in the 13th chapter. But again, the thought is, He's still working on me. And in Isaiah 64 and 8, "But now, O Lord, Thou art our Father, and we are the clay. Thou art our potter, and we are all the work of Thy hand." Our main objective is to encourage God's children that God desires to use them and to mold them, even in the midst of sinful struggles, bad choices, and temptations to accomplish His plan and purpose. God wants to use every one of us for His honor and His glory. Romans 8 and 28 tells us that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. And I believe that with all my heart. Let's turn and look to the scriptures as we search out and seek out Samson's life and the life that he lived. Judges, the 13th chapter, in the first verse. "And the children of Israel did evil again in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord delivered them into the hand of the Philistines 40 years. And there was a certain man of Zorah of the family of the Danites, whose name was Manoah, and his wife was barren and bare not. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto the woman and said unto her, Behold, now thou art barren and bearest not, but thou shalt conceive and bear a son. Now therefore beware, I pray thee, and drink not wine nor strong drink, and eat not any unclean thing. For lo, thou shalt conceive and bear a son, and no razor shall come upon his head, for the child shall be a Nazarite unto God from the womb. And he shall begin to deliver Israel out of the hand of the Philistines. Then the woman came and told her husband, saying, A man of God came unto me, and his countenance was like the countenance of an angel of God, very terrible. But I asked him not whence he was, neither told he me his name. But he said unto me, Behold, thou shalt conceive and bear a son, and now drink no wine nor strong drink, neither eat any unclean thing, for the child shall be a Nazarite to God from the womb to the day of his death. Then Manoah entreated the Lord and said, O my Lord, let the man of God which did sin come again unto us and teach us what we shall do unto the child that shall be born. And God hearkened to the voice of Manoah, and the angel of God came again unto the woman as she sat in the field, but Manoah, her husband, was not with her. And the woman made haste and ran and showed her husband, and said unto him, Behold, the man hath appeared unto me that came unto me the other day. And Manoah rose and went after his wife and came to the man and said unto him, Art thou the man that speakest unto the woman? And he said, I am. Manoah said, Now let thy words come to pass. How shall we order the child, and how shall we do unto him? And the angel of the Lord said unto Manoah, Of all that I said unto the woman, let her beware. She may not eat of anything that cometh of the vine, neither let her drink wine or strong drink, nor eat any unclean thing. All that I commanded her, let her observe. And of course, we know the account here of what was taking place, of how that God came to a woman that was barren, that didn't have any children. And you know, we can recollect this account that a couple of other times in the Scriptures this had taken place. Not very often, but we can hear about how the Lord came to those that were barren and how He blessed them. And you know what that would usually mean? With a special child that was coming forth for a special purpose. See, that's exactly the way that it was with Abraham as they began, him and Sarah, that at an old age God was going to bless a barren woman with a child, and Isaac would have a special purpose for the Lord to be used of him. Now we can know and see that God was going to bring a man to have a special purpose. Now I want you to look at and see that there was something very important in Samson before he was ever even born. Brother Jonathan made mention of this in his lesson early on, and there's such an importance to godly parents in a child's life. I believe that that Samson's mama and daddy were praying for him long before he was ever born. And that's what we need to do for these children before they ever come forth from the womb. We need to pray that God's hand would just be on them. And if they're going to develop into a godly person that gets saved first and then is able to be used of the Lord, then we need to pray for them to that end. And we can see that's what took place in how that Manoah, I believe Manoah knew the Lord, but I believe that his wife was such a godly woman. God sent the angel to her. He didn't send the angel to Manoah, but he sent the angel to her twice. And so she was the one to relay the message. And she then decided, according to what the angel told her, to take the vow of the Nazarite herself, to make herself holy and set apart for the work of the Lord. Now this was important, and it's important to see again the context of where we're in. The children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, much like what's going on today in our country and in our world, and in the seeing the decline of our churches and of our people, it is most of all because of sin. And because of the neglect of heeding the Word of God, like we heard about a moment ago. But they did evil, and they were delivered into the hand of the Philistines. Now they were there in Zorah. Now Zorah, it was a town that was near the Philistine border. It was close that was there, and that town was there. And we can see what took place. They were under that rule, and a godly mother found favor of the Lord because she was promised a child. And Manoah, he even believed that they would have a child. As he is talking to her, he's talking to the angel that was there. He says, teach us, in the 8th verse, what we shall do unto the child that shall be born. I believe that Manoah believed that God was going to send a child to them. You know, we need to believe that God is going to bless us when He tells us He's going to do something for us, and trust in His promises. And so they were trying to follow the commandments of the Lord. Now Manoah was a little bit scared. He realized after they had offered the sacrifice and that angel, he wouldn't eat of that. But he took that and he went through the fire. The angel did, and ascended in that fire. And Manoah was scared and said, well, we're surely going to die. We've seen an angel of the Lord. But Manoah's wife comforted him and said, you know, God was giving us some promises. We don't have to be afraid. God's going to bless us. He's going to provide for us. He's going to send a son. And in the 24th verse of that 13th chapter, it says, and the woman bare a son. He says, and called his name Samson. And the child grew, I believe, physically and spiritually. The child grew. And the Lord blessed him, the scripture says. And the Spirit of the Lord began to move him at times in the camp of Dan between Zorah and Eshtol. Now listen, he was moved of the Spirit of the Lord there at that time period. And it's good to see what was taking place. But a Nazarite, it's already been made mention in some of our lessons before, but I think it's very important for us to see about what the vow of a Nazarite was and how important that was going to be in Samson's life and in his parents' life. Now, a Nazarite, according to Webster's 1828 dictionary, is a Jew who professed extraordinary purity of life and devotion. But in Numbers, the 6th chapter, it explains a little better about what the vow of the Nazarite was. He says in the 2nd verse of the 6th chapter of Numbers, speak unto the children of Israel and say unto them, when either man or woman shall separate themselves to vow a vow of a Nazarite, to separate themselves unto the Lord, he shall separate himself from wine and strong drink. And he shall drink no vinegar of wine or vinegar of strong drink, neither shall he drink any liquor of grapes, nor eat moist grapes or dried. All the days of his separation shall he eat nothing that is made of the vine tree, from the kernels even to the husk. All the days of the vow of his separation there shall no razor come upon his head, until the days be fulfilled in which his separateth himself unto the Lord. He shall be holy and shall let the locks of his hair grow. All the days that he separateth himself unto the Lord, he shall not come. He shall come at no dead body. Now that's some of the commandment that was given to Samson's mother. But I believe it was taught to Samson at a very young age that he was to carry out the vow of a Nazarite. You know, I think it'd still be good for us to encourage our children to carry out some of those similar vows that were recommended for Samson even at an early age. I think it's good for God's people to stay away from strong drink and those things that might cause us to distort our judgment and to take us away from the things of God. That's something very simple and elementary, but it's seemingly coming into our churches and destroying homes every day. And we need to see what it would cause. That was just one of the things, but I believe all those were good to recommend to those children. Now I want to go on down here and read a little further in the 14th chapter. But I do want to make that point from Proverbs 22 and 6 about how that Samson's parents did. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. I still believe that scripture to be true, and I'm a testament of that scripture tonight. It tells us in Judges 14, in the first verse, and Samson went down to Timnath and saw a woman in Timnath of the daughters of the Philistines. And he came up and told his father and his mother and said, I have seen a woman in Timnath of the daughters of the Philistines. Now therefore get her for me to wife. Then His father and his mother said unto him, Is there never a woman among the daughters of thy brethren, among all my people, that thou goest to take a wife of the uncircumcised Philistines? I believe they were startled. I believe they were concerned. And Samson said unto his father, Get her for me, for she pleaseth me well. But his father and his mother knew not that it was of the Lord that he sought an occasion against the Philistines, for at that time the Philistines had dominion over Israel. Now I do want to make a point here, that when God gave the commandments to the children of Israel to leave and to go into the promised land, they were told to not marry with the different people of the lands. Now God numbered off about 6 or 7 different countries of people to not marry into. Now I don't know why God didn't number the Philistines with them, but he didn't number the Philistines with that number. So there were some intermarriages that were going on at this time period between the children of Israel and between the Philistines. And those weren't necessarily all of the Lord. But I believe what the Word of God says, that God sought an occasion against the Philistines. So he put something in the heart of Samson to desire to be married to this young lady. And we don't understand a lot of times why people go through certain relationships and why people do things that they do. But I want to encourage you with all that is within me, follow the Lord and you'll do right. You'll do right. And I believe that Samson, although against better judgment of his parents, was trying to follow the Lord. I believe that because we know that God said his desire was to do this. And so we need to look at that and see that he was doing that. And I believe Samson was a saved man. The Bible tells us that he was led of the Spirit to go out to this place, to see the land of Timnath. It says that the Spirit of the Lord in the 25th verse of the 13th chapter began to move him at times in the camp of Dan between Zorah and Eshtaol. And we know that they that are led by the Spirit of God are the sons of God, is what it tells us in Romans 8 and 28. I believe that he was a son of God, that he was saved. He wasn't perfect, but he was saved. And so he was trying to follow the Lord in where he was going. So he went out, and we need to get this here. In the 5th verse, Then went Samson down, and his father and his mother, to Timnath, and came to the vineyards of Timnath, and behold, a young lion roared against him. And the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him. How can that happen if you're not saved? But the Spirit of the Lord came upon him, and he rent him as he would have rent a kid. And he had nothing in his hand, but he told not his father or his mother what he had done. Did you hear what just happened? This is a plain man, a normal man, went down and on his way met a young lion without any kind of instruments. He didn't have the sling that David had. He went to a lion and he killed that lion with his bare hands. You know what I see in that? I see the power of God in using that man. It wasn't Samson. It was all of the Lord. I believe that with all my heart, because when the Spirit of the Lord gets in the matter, don't we feel like we can do anything? And I want to give you some news. We can. With God on our side, and when the Spirit of the Lord gets in the matter, if we're following God, we can go up against that roaring lion, the devil, and we can defeat him with the help of God. We can go against those things. But he continued on. Says he went down and talked with the woman, and she pleased Samson well. And after a time he returned to take her, and he turned aside to see the carcass of the lion, and behold, there was a swarm of bees and honey in the carcass of the lion, and he took in his hands and went on eating, and came to his father and mother, and he gave them, and they did eat, but he told them not that he had taken of the honey out of the carcass of the lion. Now again, one of the vows of a Nazarite was not to come on a dead body. Well, that's what Samson was doing. It says here, so his father and his mother went down with the woman, and the Samson made the feast. That was a custom at the time. So used the young men to do. And it came to pass when they saw him that they brought 30 companions to be with him. And Samson said unto them, I will now put forth a riddle unto you, if you can certainly declare it within the 7 days of the feast and find it out. Then will I give you 30 sheets and 30 change of garments. But if ye cannot declare it me, then shall ye give me 30 sheets and 30 change of garments. And they said unto him, put forth thy riddle that we may hear it. Of course, we know that he gave them the riddle of how that he took the honey there out of the lion. And they couldn't figure out the riddle. And they went to Samson's wife that was going to be his wife. And they went to her and they threatened her and her father and said, we're going to burn you and we're going to burn your father and we're going to burn your house if you don't tell us this riddle. And so you know what she did? She went and she went to Samson, of course, and she pushed on him and wept before him. And she was there upon him and she made him to confess what that riddle was to them there that day. But it says there after that, when he had to give in and do and honor his side of the story of what he offered and his side of the deal in the 19th verse, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon him again, and he went down to Ashkelon and slew 30 men of them, and took their spoil and gave change of garments unto them, which expounded the riddle. His anger was kindled and he went up to his father's house. But Samson's wife was given to his companion whom he had used as his friend. Again, keep in mind, when Samson was filled with the Spirit of God, he had power with God. That's us, folks. When we're where God wants us to be, when we're living in the Spirit, walking in the Spirit, serving in the Spirit, preaching in the Spirit, teaching in the Spirit, that's when we'll have the kind of power that we need. If we want our lost people to come under conviction, you know what it's going to take? It's going to take the Spirit of God to convict them. If we want them to come and seek God and pour out their heart and get saved, it's going to take the Spirit of God to deal with them, to bring them to the place where they can seek God and be saved. He had power when the Spirit of God got a hold of him. The Lord continued to bless him even through his temptations and his mistakes. He also continued to fail in the vow of the Nazarite, continued to make mistakes, not going there to a dead body. And he went out and killed 30 men. And then he went and gathered their garments from them. He went to 30 dead bodies. He continued to break the vows of the Nazarite. Yet God still blesses this man. And God still continued to use this man. In the 15th chapter is where we want to turn, if you want to follow along with us again. But it came to pass within a while in the time of wheat harvest that Samson visited his wife with a kid, and he said, I'll go into my wife into the chamber, but her father would not suffer him to go in. And her father said, I verily thought that she hated, that thou hast utterly hated her. Therefore I have given her to thy companion. Is not her younger sister fairer than she? Take her, I pray thee, instead of her. And Samson said concerning them, now shall I be more blameless than the Philistines, though I do them a displeasure. Now God was using him, and he was there, and he went out and gathered 300 foxes and took firebrands, took a fire and put it there in between their tails. And when he had set the fire, the brands on fire, he let them go into the standing corn of the Philistines and burn up both the shocks and also the standing corn with the vineyards and the olives. Now, you know, we're facing a lot of enemies against the Word of God. There's a lot of people that are standing against us preaching the truth.
We don't have to go out and get a bunch of foxes and set their fields to fire because we're wrestling against spiritual wickedness in high places. But I tell you, we need to be willing to go up in a fight against them. We've got to arm ourselves with the armor of God, and we need to get in the Word of God and be able to defend the Word of God and stand for the truth, even if it means giving our lives in that. Samson went out, and he went out looking for a fight because of what they did to him there. These foxes were like, they were jackals about the size in between a fox and a wolf. They gathered in packs, but he went out, and it was a lot of work. He gathered 300 of them, and he sent them out, and he hit them where it hurt because he was where he needed to be. Even God was using horrible things. You ever served the Lord and done something for the Lord in anger? You know, I believe in the Scripture, the Bible teaches us to be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon our wrath. But I believe that we need to be angry about some of the things that are going on in our churches and in our homes today. And it's okay to be angry and to carry that anger and let it rest in our bosom and to have a zeal for God that we're willing to stand up against the things that are wrong. Folks, we got to preach against homosexuality. We got to preach against adultery and against murdering babies and against all these things that are destroying our churches and our homes. We got to stand against it, and we've got to stand firm against it. Samson was angry, but I believe what he did for God. Folks, let's do it for the Lord. Jesus got angry when they were in there making God's house there a house of merchandise instead of den of thieves of their merchandise instead of a house of prayer. He went in and he took some a whip and he whipped them right out of there. That's what we need to do for these people that are teaching and preaching heresy and things that would deceive our little ones. We need to get them out. If it takes us grabbing them by the arm in the middle of a church service and taking them out the door, then do it. Stand up for what's right. If people are teaching and preaching wrong, let us not be too scared to call them out of love and tell them what's right. Samson was filled with the Spirit of the Lord. He says there, after he did that, they said, "Who did this?" They said, "Samson, the son-in-law of Timnath, because he had taken his wife and given her. The Philistines came up and burnt her and her father with her fire." The enemy is going to do what they want to do when they want to do it anyways. She didn't give in to her husband. She gave in to them, and they spared her then, but then they came for her later. They're going to destroy no matter what. We've got to stand for the truth. They're going to continue to go against us. Samson, his anger was kindled even more. He says, "Though ye have done this, yet will I be avenged of you, and after that I will cease." And he smote them hip and with thigh and a great slaughter. And he went down and dwelt in the top of the rock of Etam. I encourage you, read all of this. I'm going to have to skip along here. But there was men that came up there. The men of the Philistines, they came up as a big multitude. And they came up against the children of Israel. And the children of Israel got scared. And there was 3,000 of them went up to the top of the rock where Samson was, taking a break from his battle. And they said, "Samson, what are you doing? What are you thinking? These people are over us. They're ruling us. I tell you, there's a people that wants to rule over us, to govern us, to tell us what we can preach and what we can't preach. I tell you, God is our King and He is our Lord, and we have more authority than they do. Because our authority comes from God. We better stand for what's right. Samson said, well, if you promise not to kill me, then I'll let you bind me and bring me to them. So he was bound there in those bound up, and they took him down by the Philistines. And you know what he did when he got down there and he was bound up? He says in the 14th verse, and when he came into Lehi, the Philistines shouted against him, and the Spirit of the Lord, again, the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him, and the cords that were upon his arms became as flax that was burnt with fire, and his bands loosed off him, and he found a new jawbone of an ass and put forth his hand and took it and slew 1,000 men therewith. That is an impossible feat. Killing a lion was, going out and killing 30 men was, and gathering 300 foxes and killing 1,000 men was impossible. But you know what? When he was where God wanted him to be, the Spirit of the Lord got a hold of him and he did impossible things. And you can too. You can too. Every one of us. If we'll do what God would have us to, God can use us. God uses ordinary people to do extraordinary things. That's what he's always done. He used an ordinary man. You know, every one of us. I look at Brother Moran and these great men, Brother Reynolds. These are ordinary men that God has done extraordinary things with. You know, that's what God does. Brother Skinner, I don't want to leave any of these out. All these that have done wonderful things in the Lord's work. Listen, God wants to use us. But you know what happened? Samson's flesh got in the way. He was filled with the Spirit of the Lord. God blessed him. And the 20th verse says, and he judged Israel in the days of the Philistines 20 years. He had a successful years of judging and working for the Lord and being a servant for the Lord. That's what would happen with the children of Israel. They would fall away. They would sin, and God would send a judge to deliver them, to help them to get back on track of serving the Lord, doing what God would have them to. Samson was their guy for just a while. Think, boy, he wasn't a very good example of a leader. But you know, God, he uses every one of us if we'll allow him to. He went down in the 16th chapter and saw a harlot and went unto her. God doesn't excuse us for our sins. We don't need to be going looking for trouble, because if we'll look for it, we'll find it soon enough. Samson went looking for trouble. He found it. And even though he got in trouble, committed fornication with a total stranger that was there, God continued to bless him, and he delivered him from their hands once again, carried out the gates of the city that would have been impossible for probably 10 men to do. He carried them out and took them up to the top of the mountain. But then he came and went in the 4th verse and loved a woman in the valley of Sorek whose name was Delilah. He loved that woman. Doesn't say anything about them being joined together in marriage, but he loved her. Probably committing fornication again. Going against the things of God. And she was just a wicked woman, but he loved her. We've got to be careful to not love the world and love the things that are in the world more than we love God. I believe his eyes and his flesh got him in a lot of trouble. He went the wrong direction. And there's been a lot of our preachers and our people that have fallen to sin the same way that Samson did. And they've got themselves in a mess. But you know what? I wish we could renew every one of them, that they would repent and that they would come back and serve the Lord. Because they could reach somebody that I couldn't reach and that you couldn't reach. Folks, we need everybody in the Lord's service. They needed Samson at this time period. But he loved many. strange women, and they became a snare to him. The wise Proverbs warns against that in the 6th chapter of Proverbs. I encourage everybody to read that, men and women, especially men, to read that, to caution themselves. And we want to focus and realize that that's what we must do, is to stay away from those things. But we need to look. She tempted him because she was going to get rich from finding out where his strength lies. We all know the account. I'm not going to read it for you because you know it. And she continued to press upon him. 4 times she tried to press against him about where his strength lies. And finally he confessed to her that he was had vowed the vow of a Nazarite. From his mother's womb he had been a Nazarite. Now do you really think that Samson's strength was in his hair? I don't. I think Samson's strength was in his faith and his trust in the Lord and his vow to God. And where our strength lies is in the Lord. It's not in us. Even the Apostle Paul said that when I'm weak, that's when I'm strong. Our strength lies with God. And if we ever start thinking it's us, we're going to fall. And that's what happened to Samson. He fell. And he made many mistakes in falling to that. You know what they did when he finally fell and his strength came from him? The first thing they did was they bound him and they put out his eyes. Seems kind of ironic to me if something that caused him so much trouble was the first thing that they got rid of. God's going to take care of us, and he'll do what he has to make us to finally be able to see him instead of looking at everything else in the world. He'll put us in our place. They took him there, we know, and they brought him and they made sport of him, and he was there brought in before the people. He stood before those posts that were holding up over 3,000 of the Philistines, of the Lord's, and they were making fun of Samson. You know what he did? He prayed to the Lord. And he prayed to God, and God blessed that prayer. And he was there, and he bowed with all his might and killed over 3,000 at his death. Again, an impossible feat that could only be through the power of God that he was able to do that. Samson's life wasn't a life of very much growth, it would seem. But what Samson's life was a vessel in the potter's hands. Samson's life was made in many mistakes, and he had done a lot of things that were wrong. We'll do a lot of things that are wrong, but God wants to keep using us. Jeremiah, in the 18th chapter, in the first verse, says, "The word came to Jeremiah from the Lord, arise and go down to the potter's house." I think we all need to head on down to the potter's house. It says, "And there I will cause thee to hear my words." Then I went down to the potter's house, and behold, he wrought a work on the wheels, and a vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. So he made it again, another vessel, as seemed good to the potter to make. That's what God desires to do with every one of his children. No matter how many times you're marred, no matter how many times you've made mistakes, no matter how many times you failed the Lord, you're still his, and he still wants to put you on his will and place his spirit in you and mold you into something that can bring him honor and glory. The Apostle Paul told Timothy, he said, in a good house, which I believe that good house is the Lord's church, in a good house there's vessels of earth and vessels of wood, and there's vessels of dishonor, and some are vessels unto honor. He says, flee youthful lust and sins that would deter us, and take our eyes off the Lord, and help us to be vessels unto honor, that, you know what, meet for the master's use. That's what God wants us to be. He wants us to be molded and made into vessels unto honor that would honor him, that we might serve him. We will make mistakes. But thankfully, we have a wonderful Father that loves us, that chastises us, that helps us to get back in the place that we need to be, as it tells us in Hebrews, the 12th chapter. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God, but instead of judging our brothers and sisters in Christ, let's help one another to achieve the purpose that God has for our lives. When we see a brother or a sister that has fallen, instead of us kicking them and pushing them and making fun of them and trying to push them back out into the world, yes, we need to deal with them according to the commandment of our Lord and Savior Jesus and according to His Word, and we need to carry it out to the best of our ability. But the main objective of discipline in a church is to welcome people to come back into fellowship with God, to repent of their sins, and to better serve the Lord. How many of you have seen preachers and lay members and friends, families, family members fall away and never come back? Folks, that's not what God wants. He wants us all to be working for Him, to try to encourage those to come back. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. There's not a person here tonight that can't say that we're not a sinner. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. So we need to self-examine and look at each of our own lives and see, am I where I need to be? Instead of pointing fingers and saying, look at them. Samson wasn't perfect. But you know what he was? He was a child of God that God continued to bless and mold and make into something that we're even studying about thousands of years later that would help us to learn in our lives. I want to close just a few remarks. Serving God and growing in Him doesn't always paint a pretty picture. We've seen a lot that haven't always lived perfect. Sometimes there's sinful struggles that God's children desire to overcome, seemingly never completely. They never do until death. Some of us, we're going to face struggles that we won't overcome until death. Samson's life wasn't perfect, and neither will ours be. However, we must remember that God used this man miraculously to judge Israel for 20 years. Let us always consider our frame and recall that we are just dust, as it tells us in the psalmist. But dust in the hands of our dear Maker can be molded into something beautiful that He will use for His honor and His glory. I'm so glad that He's still working on me. Brother Aaron kind of stole it from me. I had a thought to sing a little bit of a song after I got done too. But we both like to sing. We both love the Lord. But I want you to know that He's still working on me to make me what I ought to be. Took Him just a week to make the moon and the stars, the sun and the earth, and Jupiter and Mars. How loving and patient He must be. He's still working on me. And guess what? He's still working on you too. I love you today. God bless you is our prayer. Thank you for listening to us for a few moments of time. I pray that God will use this for His honor and glory. Thank you again to the church and for the committee for allowing us this opportunity. God bless you.